Welcome to the Small Business Report. I'm Gordon Deal. We examine things like the minds of entrepreneurs, emerging trends, financing, marketing, unique ideas, big business moves that could affect small businesses, even how to get started on your own. Today's stories: when a statewide minimum wage is a fit for some cities but not others, and the sizable growth of restaurants being opened by women and minorities. Those stories after this.
In business, risks and rewards come with every decision, like moving to the cloud with Office 365. While its benefits include anywhere access and lower costs, cyber threats and user errors can quickly wipe out data and the money you save. Barracuda Essentials for Office 365 provide an added layer of security and functionality for threat protection, email migration, data recovery, and quality of service. Move securely to Office 365. Visit barracuda.com/essentials to learn more.
Several cities have recently adopted $15 an hour wage ordinances that will phase in over the coming years, and more cities are expected to jump on board. It's an issue that small businesses watch very closely. But California's decision to go statewide with the $15 minimum could be a game changer. Ben Castleman, chief economics writer at 538.com, says to date, nearly all the places that have adopted $15 minimum wages are big coastal cities where costs of living are high, and most workers already earn well above that. California's wage hike would apply to the whole state, including poorer cities like Fresno. Ben, give us the lay of the land.
We've seen minimum wages rising pretty quickly now in San Francisco, in Seattle, in Los Angeles, now it looks like in New York. You know, these are big, expensive cities, very high cost of living, where a $15 minimum wage potentially makes a pretty good amount of sense. Economists will certainly argue about what exactly the right wage is, but it makes a lot more sense there than in a place like Fresno, California, Merced, California. These are places where the cost of living is a lot lower, where the median wage is a lot lower, and a $15 minimum wage looks a lot higher in a place like that.
All right, so what could happen then if that's considered high in a place like Fresno or Merced?
Well, so the economists disagree about what exactly the impact of a higher minimum wage is. Most of the research finds that that sort of modest increases in the minimum wage have a pretty minor effect on employment, that businesses are able to adjust by raising prices a little bit. You know, it basically redistributes a little bit of wealth to the workers there. But we haven't had much in the way of research on these kinds of really significant wage increases like we're going to see here. And so, frankly, we don't know. It is possible that that supporters of the minimum wage will be completely right. And then what we will see is as workers make more money, they'll also be able to spend more, and it will be a virtuous circle that that supports itself. It's also possible that businesses will really struggle to adapt, that they will be forced to cut jobs or cut hours, and this could end up hurting some of the very workers it's designed to help.
Even though this is phased in, right? This is not an immediate jump, say, from $10 an hour to 15.
Yes, being phased in over 6 years, and it's actually not that rapid of an increase in percentage terms. You know, California already has a $10 minimum wage. That's tied for the highest in the country with Massachusetts. So it's a relatively gradual increase. What really makes it significant is how it compares to the median wage in the area. So, you know, in San Francisco, most workers, a typical worker, makes more than $25 an hour. And so the relationship to the minimum wage there is pretty similar to frankly, the current U.S. federal minimum as it compares to the federal median wage. But in some of these other areas, the relationship is really different. You know, we're talking about a median wage in Fresno that isn't that much above $15 right now. And a lot of people in a place like Fresno, you know, people who earn under $15 an hour include nursing assistants, preschool teachers, you know, people who are kind of lower middle class type workers. This is not just fast food workers that we're talking about.
We're speaking with Ben Castleman, chief economics writer at 538.com. He's got a piece about California's $15 minimum wage. You mentioned, too, this idea of sorting jobs into categories for an argument's sake. Explain that.
Yeah, so what we did was to try to get a feel for how different places would be affected. We looked at occupations, at jobs, and we said that any job where at least 25% of people earn under this proposed minimum wage, so sort of would be expected to earn under $15 an hour in 2022, we'll say those are occupations that are significantly affected. And that if at least 50% of workers earn under that, then we'll say those sectors are highly affected. And if you look at that, in the place like San Francisco or San Jose and Silicon Valley, you know, a bit more than a quarter of occupations would be affected. 10-15% would be highly affected. But if you go out to some of these poorer cities and to rural areas in California, then you're talking about potentially half to two-thirds of occupations being affected, you know, close to half being highly affected. So we're talking about a lot of occupations that would see effects of a minimum wage increase. That's good news for workers, assuming that they keep their jobs, but it's going to be tough on businesses, and it's going to mean this is a much more dramatic change than what it might mean in a place like San Jose or San Francisco.
Thanks, Ben. Ben Castleman, chief economics writer at 538.com. Coming up next, who's opening restaurants these days? Looking for the next place to grow or expand your business? Why not look to the state that went from 49th to 10th best in corporate business income tax, where 2,000 burdensome and unnecessary regulations were eliminated over the past 5 years, and is now home to the 6th best entrepreneurial climate. All this and more awaits you in the state of Michigan, the state that should be the number one choice of your business. Go to MichiganBusiness.org to learn more. A new report finds women and minority-owned restaurant businesses have grown phenomenally between 2007 and 2012. The National Restaurant Association says women-owned stores grew three times faster than the overall restaurant industry in that five-year period, increasing by 40%. During the same five-year period, the total number of restaurant businesses in the U.S. rose about 12%. The state of Mississippi saw the fastest growth in women-owned restaurant businesses at 95%. Next in line was Delaware with 86% growth. Another report found minority-owned restaurant businesses also rose steeply in recent years. The number of Hispanic-owned restaurant businesses, for example, surged to 51% over those 5 years, while African-American-owned restaurants shot up 49%. The number of Asian-owned restaurant businesses increased 18%. As a result of the consistent growth in the economy in recent years, 4 in 10 restaurant businesses are now owned by minorities. Reminder, by the way, you can get more small business reports on our website, which is thismorningwithgordondeal.com. And we encourage you to leave feedback, too, on whatever podcast platform you might use, whether it's, say, iTunes or perhaps SoundCloud. Also, if you'd like to share thoughts or ideas about your small business, we could feature them on this podcast. Send me an email, gdeal@compassmedianetworks.com. Again, gdeal@compassmedianetworks.com. Thanks for listening to the Small Business Report. I'm Gordon Deal.